we were talking about the fan in L.A. who was proposing to his girlfriend on the field, and we did not mention the other L.A. team, and that being the Angels, and Anthony Rendon grabbing a fan while walking off the field in Oakland and kind of swatting at the guy. And we don't know the context because we don't know what the fan said to him. We don't know how the interaction took place or why it was started.
It doesn't matter what the fan said. When you grab a fan like that, lawsuit, Gwyneth Paltrow, same thing.
You're right. You're right. Lawsuit and all of that. And it was...
He's going to say my neck is in a position where I can never move it properly.
Well, and, what about baseball, though? What do they do? Like, isn't that a minimum of fine, if not a suspension?
Dude,
like it's got to be something. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the other day. Like, it was, you know, trending on Instagram and that. The one skinny guy in Dallas who said something racist, and the guy stroked him in the face. Did you see that?
No,
that whole
I didn't.
Interaction?
Yeah, that was at a hockey game.
That was at a hockey game. Dallas Stars hockey game. The guy, you know, said something to the guy behind, and the guy just, like, knocked him down and then held him down, and then the girlfriend started swiping at him. Yeah. Like, to me, I always come back to, like, I want context. I want to know what was said because there is lines that do get crossed.
Sure.
But Jamie, in big picture in pro sports, like, guys are getting sick of a lot of things. They're getting sick of the messaging from the media, and that's why you're seeing guys like Draymond Green and different athletes that are doing their own podcasts so they get their own message out there. And as far as the conduct from the fans, they've had enough. And they're sick of guys like that. And I'm kind of sick of it, too. I'm sick of morons and goons on Twitter, male or female, commenting on my hair, this and that. I want to tee off on these people and talk to them like they deserve to be talked to, but I can't because I'll lose my job if I do that.
Well,
I'm sick of it.
The biggest thing that I've noticed is you see people that are mouthing off and they're holding their phone in their hand. Like, that's, you know, like, you're mouthing to somebody looking for the response while you're filming it. I see a lot of protesters and stuff doing that. Like,
guys are sick and tired of people taking swipes in the language, in the comments, and maybe some physical stuff where they're doing whatever. And guys have had enough of it. They're like, you can make the comments, you stink or whatever, but when it gets personal, it's too much, and people are fed up with it.
Well, and that's, again, we don't know what the context was.
Right, This
is where you got to find that out if you're Major League Baseball, because if the guy's just booing you, you can't grab them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dude, I totally agree. And he said to him, he's like, you called me the B word, is that right? If somebody says that, I'm sorry. Whatever I just said, you still can't grab the guy by the scruff of the neck.
This is what, and you guys have been athletes. Now, you played a different sport where you don't have that close of a connection to fans. You know, you guys can get on and off the ice really without any interaction.
Yep.
Baseball's different. As we know, basketball's incredibly different. We've seen a lot in basketball this week with Kyrie and Westbrook getting guys thrown out, you know, getting fans thrown out because of their conduct and what they're saying. But it is... There's a line there where it's like, and I don't know how you define it if you're a league. What is acceptable and what isn't? What you can reason with? I'm sure what they'll express is, it doesn't matter what anyone says to you, don't touch them, get security. Like, I'm sure that's what they're saying, is I don't care what anyone says to you.
I know, but I think there should be something for the fans too, Hayes. You can boo and say, hey, you stink. But once it goes beyond that, I think it's get out of the building.
I think that's what we're seeing, is security.
Get out of the building.
If it's anything past,
hey, buddy, you stink, I hate you, whatever. If it's anything other than that, you're not allowed in the building. Sorry.
My understanding, there is a code of conduct that should be in place and is in place for fans too.
Yeah.
But again, what is the, it always comes back to two words. For me, common sense. Like, common sense. You can boo a fan and say, hey, you're a tough night, you suck, all of that. We've heard that. But you start getting personal or saying something that crosses a line, and I think for the most part, we all know what that line is. That's where common sense should prevail.
Sure.
And those people should be taken out.
But then what about Brooks Koepka? Right? He's holding the pylon up, booing a guy, saying you stink. You know?
Yeah.
For me, That's not you're getting kicked out.
No, I don't think so. I just,
you know, you still need a mood in there. You still need people to, you can't complain that rinks are a library. It's not just cheers.
Dude, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing that Koepka doesn't have a buddy that says, dude.
That's over the top goofy, but it's
him being a goofball. You're a celebrity. Put the pylon down, because this video is going to be out there, and you look like a moron.
Here's okay. Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What is your understanding of the line that can get passed or could get crossed in order for a player to actually interact with a fan?
There's almost none, unless it's his own personal safety. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I think, especially in basketball, where the fans can reach out and touch you, or in Ty Domi's case, they're going to fall in the penalty box. If they're going to get around you in your space and it's a physical thing, safety, then you can do whatever you want. You can rob Ray the guy when he runs on the ice and give him 35. Like, absolutely no problem. If a guy wants to run on the outfield or run onto the football field, then he can absolutely get hit by those players because they don't know. They can't trust that guy's not going to have something that might hurt them. So I think that's the one case you can do whatever you want when it comes to physical safety. When it comes to verbal abuse, we know, like, anything that's racial, anything that's sexual orientation, anything that's derogatory to your family, that is unacceptable language, but not reason to, even though you want to put your hands on someone, to smack them, to grab them, to whatever. That's where you get, like, security, that guy, he's out. And then you feel, you know how athletes are.
Yeah. Do you think that's fair, though, Johnny? Like that, I think it's fair. If you go above the line and you're chirping, get out of the rink.
Yeah, that's fair. And, like, you also have to think, like, there are other people there in the building. Like, if I'm there with my kids and I have you swearing profanely, talking all this, it also makes it unpleasant for other people as well, not just the athlete in question. So I think it's totally fair that they get kicked out, and if it happens once or twice, then they don't get to ever, you know, buy season tickets or whatever. They get kind of banned from the building. So but athletes don't like doing that, right? Like, they're emotional and they're proud and they're physical, and they want to say, like, listen, this guy who half the time is doing it to get the exact reaction and that guy got there in Anaheim or Oakland, like, that's what they want. They want to put that on, like, they don't, it's not common sense. They want to make it go viral. They want to sue them, whatever. You can't get them that. You just have to use security to get them out of there, even though you want to teach them a lesson, show them, like, how tough are you actually when I'm talking to you face up. You can't go down that road because it's just going to cost you and the team and the game and everything else. But there is a limit. There is a limit of what kind of language you can use. That doesn't mean you can't boo. Tell me I'm terrible. Tell me I suck. Tell me I'm soft. Tell me I'm this. Tell me I'm that. But there's, I think it's racial. It's sexual. It's family. It's too profane for the crowd. You go over any of those lines. Those are reasons to get kicked out, but never really reason to touch a fan.
Absolutely. And, right. And that applies if you're in a movie theater, if you're on a plane, it's a public space. It's such a different public space than anything else we really see in society, because you want rowdiness. You want people in. You know, there's a lot of booze being, drank at these parks and at the rink or whatever it is. It's a difficult line to cross. Like, it's going to happen sometimes. There are going to be people that do stupid things,
right?
And it's going to lead to a reaction. But you don't want to muzzle everyone. What I'm getting at is you can't allow the players to make that determination.
No.
I think the players would say, I don't want to hear anything from anyone. Like, I just want to work.
Right.
And the players can't make that determination.
No. And like, some guys won't mind, and some guys might have rabbit ears and be more sensitive. And you're like, hang on, I'm just telling you, you're a terrible free throw shooter. You can't kick me out for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what about stuff, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but, like, you know, Kyrie Irving thinks the world is flat. Can you get on him for thinking the world is flat? That's a very public opinion. Like, can you, like,
sure.
Stuff like that? Like, I think so. You know, like, different things that he has acknowledged. I think you probably can go down those avenues, but that's the stuff that gets into the gray areas where, you know, players won't like it and fans think they are entitled to say it. And it gets a little dicey. But I think, you know, when in doubt, if you're a player, and it's never for hockey, because we can't, like, we hear boos, but we can't hear anything from the fans. Like,
right.
You know, there's no interaction that's personal that will have you kick someone out. But for basketball specifically, and I guess baseball, where the fans are so close, can say whatever they want, almost reach out and touch you. You know, when in doubt, just kick the guy out for the night and call it a day and don't even worry about it.
I agree. I think the hardest part, though, is, like you said, where it's a gray area. Like, if personal stuff is known about you that's in the papers and stuff, you know, you've had a breakup or you've had, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine some of the things that were said to Tiger after his, you know.
Right.
Nothing was said to that guy, Jamie, because if one person said one thing, they're off the property. Period.
Really, golf is different. Golf's different too. It's stuffy. You know, guys have
okay. So I'll give you guys
golf's
an example.
A little bit different.
I played with a guy who had money problems, and it was known that he had some bankruptcy. And there was a guy who put a 20 on a fishing line and put it into our into our bench.
I don't want to laugh at that, but that made me laugh.
That is tough, though, man. How do you get a fishing rod into the ring?
Like, yeah, not
Carlo.
Not a fishing rod, like a fishing line. Like that. It was a $20 bill on like a fishing line,
that's
and
gutless.
You just tossed it into the bench. And I was like, God, that's tough.
That one's tough.
But there are things where you're kind of, you know, people have done their research and you know. But there's nothing that guy can't. I don't know if he could get tossed in the ring for that. It's kind of funny and it's really rude and derogatory. But like, again, it comes back to common sense. Like,
right.
That's what, Johnny, you laid it out. It doesn't hit that line of like, okay, where things are sensitive in today's world. So you just kind of got to chew on that one. And you don't, certainly you never take it physical. I think when you're a player, that's a last resort more when it's, you know, safety. And I think you guys remember, is it Don Zimmer? Is that his name? Remember he got attacked on first base? Was that his name?
Pedro Martinez chucked him in a ball.
You're talking about the guy in Chicago who was with the father and son who had
a knife.
I don't remember the name of the first base coach.
Yeah, but it wasn't Zimmer.
With the White Sox.
Very scary situation.
But that's an example where if that's happening, it's life-threatening. You come up swinging and no one's going to be concerned about that.
Out of the dugout and
you
get
do whatever
after it,
you have
like, whatever.
That's, exactly. Those are street rules at that point. That's survival mode. But anyway, we've got a big weekend for the Leafs here. They're in Ottawa tomorrow and at home against Detroit on Sunday. And we saw O'Reilly back in practice today. He's not going to play this weekend, but where are you at with what you're hearing out of Ryan O'Reilly, that you're not 100% yet, believes he'll get there, no need to push anything, but has to be delicate. You know, it sounds more and more like it's really just about game one as opposed to him trying to get three or four games in where he is at 100%, because maybe he doesn't think he can get to that point.
For him, probably, but if you were to ask Sheldon Keefe, he'd probably prefer it to be the last three games, because I think Sheldon wants to get his lineup together. But for Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, I mean, timing is timing, and there's no point in pushing it early if you're not going to be ready to go. Like, just so you can get a couple lines, a couple games of chemistry under your belt. And, you know, figures are, you know, they're, once the bone is healed, I suppose, then it's just kind of strength and comfort. But, you know, so with the x-ray part, when the bone is back together, then as long as you feel good about it, so that will be up to Ryan O'Reilly to determine it, and he knows his body well, and he's a veteran guy that won't be forced. You know, like, if you're a young player, not that the club would ever pressure you, but you would feel pressure. Like, okay, I just got traded here. I got to get back in the lineup. I know they want to see me play. I want to get going. To maybe push it by a game or two. I don't think Ryan O'Reilly will do that. But the fact that he's out there skating around, you know, pucks are get around his hands a little bit. Like, that's all a good sign. He still has, what is it? Just under two and a half weeks almost till like the playoffs start. That's a long time for him, so he should be good for game one. Don't know how much we'll get to see him before that, but those last couple games, if they mean nothing, Hayes, then you could probably get him in and like just play him like spot duty just to get him to see how it feels if you wanted to, because I think the Leafs will empty their bench those last couple games. I don't know if the second to last game they play Tampa. Like, we talked about this before. I don't think they're going to dress all their guys if they don't have to, so maybe O'Reilly gets in one of those kind of games.
Johnny, does Samsonov have to win a road game, or what do we got going here? What is your take on the goaltending? I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that he is going to be the guy come game one, but does he need to win something on the road, or what does he got to do?
No, I mean, it'd be nice. He starts winning everywhere, but I think the home-road splits were really tilted the first kind of half of the year. The second half, yes, the win-loss record has been much stronger at home. A lot is that because the team's better at home. But his home performance hasn't been that bad. Also, no, I think it's an aberration. I don't know if they're that worried about it. He's going to start game one and hopefully two and three when he plays well enough to get to the road as well. He's the guy. He's the guy. He's a massive question mark, not because of how he's played this year, but because of his history. And you can't change that until you actually get in there and do it, which you'll have a chance to do in a couple weeks. But, you know, they're going up against Vasilevskiy and the Tampa Bay Lightning look like they're kind of rounding into form this past week, which is not great timing for Toronto. because Samsonov is going to be competing against the guy who's been better than anyone the last 3 years. That
you knew that was going to happen, Johnny. You knew that was coming.
You knew it.
It's
almost like they said, okay, 3 weeks, it's about time. Now we go. Mm-hmm. And now they start playing harder and paying attention to detail and defending better. And then Vasilevskiy's getting locked in, and he shuts out Carolina. He gave up one last night. He gave up one against Boston last week. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, this is a team that's going to be hard to get through. Still not as good as years past, but better than they've looked the last couple months.
Well, do you sense the Leafs are dealing with the same? Like, are they doing the same thing? Are they playing harder? Are they paying more attention to detail today than they were a month ago?
I think the last week has been, 10 days have been really good for Toronto. But they're not getting the results just yet, which would be frustrating because they're playing way better. Now, this is one of the, you know, what do you want to believe in? What do you feel better with? Do you feel better with just kind of winning games and not playing that well? Mm-hmm. Or looking at the numbers and thinking, like, we're dominating these games, we're out shooting, out chancing, controlling chances again. We're just not scoring right now, but we're doing a lot of good things. Like, which one do you feel better about? You'd love both, but you're not getting both. Right now, I think they would say, we are turning the corner. Their game was so-so for the month of March. Last week, 10 days, it's also had an uptick. I don't know if it's focus, intensity, whatever. Probably just execution. But they've been better, and I think that's a positive sign.
Do you look at it in a vacuum as just individual players now then? Like, for me, and I think we've talked about this before, it's just, you know, they kind of know who they're playing. They kind of know what the situation is. And you're almost like looking ahead going, okay, let's get through the next the last 7-8, see how it unfolds. I don't know if there's anybody that's chasing any milestones that you're going to struggle to get in these last 5 or 6 or 7 games, how many of you ever play. So are you just focused on your individual game or even if you're the coaching staff, making sure that those individuals are playing to their potential? And I'm talking of not Austin Matthews, but more like Nylander, Tavares, Bunting. Who else should I throw in that conversation? Justin Hull, Morgan Riley.
Lilligren, sure, he's going to play.
You know, like those guys. Are you more worried about just the health of them between the ears and the confidence of their game at the right time?
I think so, because, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, because for all the talk about Tampa, they have nothing to worry, nothing to think about during the regular season because of all the winning. In many ways, Toronto's the same. They have nothing to think about for the regular season because of all the losing. Like, I mean, like, they also know nothing matters about the regular season because they haven't done it in the playoffs. So, yeah, trying to get everyone healthy physically, obviously, is priority number one. That's almost easier, right? Like, you get the guys the rest they need, you whether it's load management or sitting guys out, that's the easy part. The harder part is then getting guys to be feeling great about how they're playing when they enter the playoffs. And you mentioned a lot of guys there that are, it's important that they be good to start the playoffs, and they're going to play pivotal roles and in the Leafs' success or lack of. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's probably lots of meetings going on, probably lots of video sessions, probably lots of encouragement and positivity, and maybe some pushing and prodding for a Nylander or a Bunting, guys that Sheldon Keefe kind of likes to push a little harder publicly. But yeah, Noodles, I think that's the focus for, like, tighten up the team game execution, and then trying to get all those guys that you mentioned to the top of their game as best they can before they start.
So McDavid scores last night, and the Bruins win last night. We had this conversation earlier in the week asking which has been more impressive, the season of Connor McDavid or the season of the Boston Bruins. How would you answer that?
I don't think it's even close. Like, I don't even think it's a conversation. It's McDavid by a mile. Like, and that's not to diminish what Boston's done. They may set the record all time, but we just had Tampa get 128 points. So they might get 3 more points than Tampa. Crazy impressive, but we just saw it. Like, we haven't seen someone get 150 points since, I think 156 is just Mario and Wayne. Like, those are the guys who have done that. So, like, he's, you know, it's a different level. And the fact that he's going to win the scoring race by 35 points, and the fact that he's going to win goals and assists, and obviously points, like, these are stuff that we haven't seen in forever, and it's really just been the greatest players in a different era that have been able to do that. So, to me, I think it's McDavid. Like, I think it's, you know, as amazing as Boston's been, I think just the numbers and the uniqueness of what he's doing offensively, we've just not seen. So, it's more impressive to me, the individual, over the team success, because the team success is quite close to what we've seen recently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just quickly looking back on that season by Tampa, trying to get their stats, because I'm looking at it now. They had 128 points, and, mm-hmm. you know, the second-place team overall was Calgary and Boston, actually. They were both at 107, and they had a plus 103 goal differential that year. You look at Boston now, you know, Boston, it is surpassing.
It's staggering.
It's better than that Tampa team. And,
yes.
You know, I think you can make a sound case for both, and you just made a very compelling one for McDavid. Goals, assists, power play points, everything across the board. And when you bring Mario and Gretzky into it, that is a trump card. But right now, Boston has a plus 118 goal differential. Plus 118.
Well,
and they're going to pass that Tampa team in points. And that Tampa team was an all-time great, just like Lemieux, just like Gretzky. I think to do it in a tougher Eastern Conference with more of the high-end teams like Tampa and Toronto in their division would make me lean Boston.
Well,
and I they got 12 losses on the season. It's
let me
remarkable
add one more
what they've
thing,
done.
One more thing into it, Hayes, is, I mean, who in September thought that Boston could ever do this? I think we talked about McDavid going, I think we could see this guy doing 150 points. Mm-hmm. If you told me when Boston put that, when was that out? Right at the end of the season where they were like, you know, McAvoy needs surgery, Marchand needs surgery, you know, we're not sure. Like, we didn't see this coming in September or October with Boston, where we could probably predict at some point McDavid, we all talked about, like, this guy is going to score 50. He is going to get 130, 140 points. So he has had an insanely special season. It just, for me, the Bruins have just been so, I don't know if that came out of left field, but it certainly, nobody called it, this type of success.
No one saw this. No one saw them lapping the field. Everyone knew McDavid was going to lap the field. The question is, how much would he lap them by? And he's lapping them by more than anything we've seen in 30 years.
It's crazy.
Which is substantial.
Now, I think I just saw the graphic, like, of the last last President's Trophy winner to win the Cup, I think it was 2013 Chicago. And of the last nine teams that have won the President's Trophy, only like two of them have even got outside the second round.
That's right.
So, like, you know, it's a strange dynamic. It is very different in hockey than it is, but, you know, in football or in basketball, where the best team often makes it to the final. You know, are we, like, do you feel better about Boston's chances? Like, is it the recency bias? Because I'm sure when Tampa had 128, we thought, oh, God, they're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't. And then they went and got swept, of all things, in the first round by Columbus, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yes,
like, are we feeling bullish about Boston? Like, are they an overwhelming favorite? Are they a lock? Are you taking them against the field? Like, I don't think I would.
No, I'd take the field based on history. But I do think, to answer this question, there's a very good chance Boston's case is even more solidified in 2.5 months. Where if they follow through and win a cup, then that Tampa team is left in their dust, right? Then it is a pillar to post, maybe the greatest season ever, certainly in the modern era. Where if McDavid goes out in the first round, you know, the shine will come off a little bit, not his fault necessarily.
Dude, if the Bruins don't get, if either player doesn't get it done, the shine comes off the season, both the player and the team.
It's just different. It is a little bit different. Yeah, McDavid will still have his day when he wins the Hart, the Art Ross, the Ted Lindsay, you know, all that is coming. All right, Johnny, we'll leave it there, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again early next week.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.